The Ensemble podcast is intended for professional financial advisors. All discussion is limited to publicly available information and should not be interpreted as legal, professional, or financial advice. Ensemble does not hold an AFS license nor provide any financial services. Before making investment decisions, you should obtain financial advice from a qualified financial advisor.
Hello, my name's James Wrigley. I'm a financial advisor and one of the principals of Melbourne-based financial planning firm First Financial. I've been a long-term listener and contributor to the Ensemble Group and podcast, picking up some amazing nuggets of gold over the years. And through this podcast and the people that I'm able to speak to and interview, hopefully I can continue to deliver some of those nuggets of gold to you.
Ascender believes underwriting shouldn't slow down the advice process. With their industry-first digital PMARs, doctors complete smart online questionnaires that flow straight into Ascender's underwriting rules engine. Automated decisioning reduces friction and speeds up the approval process to help keep your business moving. On average, advisors are seeing 10-day faster decision times. It's a simpler, smarter way to write business and secure cover for your clients sooner. Visit ascender.com.au or call 136522.
Hello, welcome back to the podcast. I'm joined by Kieran Minzi from Financial Foundations Australia today. Kieran, thank you for joining me on the podcast. I've been watching you on Instagram, flicking, you know, watching your videos. It's good to have a chat with you. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks, James. Good to be here. Sorry, I hope those videos haven't been too annoying or frustrating.
Nah, it's all good. I was going to introduce you as the guy that gives those finance videos sitting in the car. People ask me about the videos that I do. And the thing that I kind of say to them is like, you need to find your thing. And I don't know if it's intentional or not, but when I think of you, I think of you're the guy that does the videos in the car. Like, was that on purpose? Have you continued it on purpose in the car? What's the story behind that?
Yeah, good question. It's interesting because I was just trying to find a place that was quiet and that was where I can, you know, record the video 15 times and not feel like someone else is listening to me. And so the car worked out well and just a safe space to be able to, yeah, redo the videos if I need to. But it's sort of, since I started, it's been, I guess, a bit of symbolism. I've sort of found that I'm trying to help people drive towards retirement. And that's sort of, right. I guess, the symbolism behind it at the moment. I'm still doing it in the car, but trying to branch out a little bit now. Definitely there's been a lot of comments of people saying that they'd never get financial advice from someone that sits in their car and records videos. So that's up to them, I guess.
It's interesting the comments that you get online. Like sometimes there's one guy that I assume it's a guy or girl, or just a, you know, faceless, nameless thing, something. I can't remember what it is now, but there's a particular, like their profile picture is some particular thing, and they always troll me with stupid stuff. The guy comes along, you get three or four comments, you know, within a day or two, and then nothing for months. And like, yeah. Oh, this guy's gone away. And then all of a sudden comes back again. Do you have any of that going on? Like people kind of coming and going, you know, giving you a bit of hate along the way?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. There's people that say things about my hair that say that, you know, I have a toupee, or there's people that say things about the way I speak. Yeah. There's always going to be hate online. And I think I accepted that when I first started posting online, that if you're going to try to make a difference, then there's going to be people that don't like you, and that's okay.
Yeah. But surely the support is outweighing any hate there. You've got
absolutely
some fans.
Yeah. The support has been fantastic. It's, there's a lot of people. Early today, I was meeting with someone that came through my social media, and they are just very grateful. You know, they find it's guidance that's available to the general public without needing to pay anything. And so they thoroughly enjoy it. And you probably find the same thing.
Yeah. It happens. We'll come back a bit more to the kind of the social media journey that you're on. And as I said, there's the guy in the car videos. I think it's great. I wouldn't be too worried about the hate if I wouldn't get advice from someone that's sitting in the car. It just makes it, there's that kind of familiarity about it that people will see. Mm. So you're a senior advisor at Financial Foundations Australia. Tell us a bit about the business and Financial Foundations and who you're working with. Like, is it, you know, kind of retiree type clients you just mentioned? What are you up to?
Yeah, so the business has been around since 1983, so quite a while.
Wow.
Started in Dandenong, and actually in the last 6 months we've just moved to Camberwell now. There's five financial advisors and probably about 14 or so staff in total.
Yep.
Yeah, mainly our client base are people that are sort of 50 and above, planning for retirement, that just want that extra guidance around what the next steps is on their financial journey.
Yep.
And so, yeah, that's why my videos are based around that sort of guest clientele, to help them on their journey as well.
Yeah. Is there anyone still working there that's been there since 1983?
No.
Or is it like passed on ownership and employees and stuff since?
Yeah, passed on. So John Cockle was one of the founding members of Financial Foundations in 1983, and his son, Ty Cockle, is now the CEO.
Okay.
So it's, family-owned sort of business, but, there's, I guess, me that and others that are not direct family, but we're all treated like family, which is great.
Yeah. How long have you been there for?
So been here for about 9 years now, just shy of 9 years.
Yeah. And your kind of journey in financial advice, have you always been there? Like, talk us through a bit about how you got to where you are now.
Yeah, good question. So it's interesting because I grew up in a family of 12 kids. I'm one of 12. And so
you're only 12 kids?
Yeah, which is...
You don't hear that much for like the generation that you are.
I know.
Amazing.
And it's some big things that my parents did. And as part of the journey, I never really... Grew up in an environment where money was not really spoken about too much, but we always had enough to get by. But yeah. I always knew that money was a little bit, I guess, tight at some points. And so when I was studying at university, my elective was financial planning, and literally realized that there were ways to make money. There are ways to save on estate taxes. There are ways to help people on their journey. And so I changed my degree to be financial advisor. And so, never... plan to be a financial advisor, and it just so happened that I came across it and couldn't look back. Just loved it, absolutely loved it.
Yeah. And so, how long ago was that you were at uni? When were you? What?
So, 2016 is when I graduated, my Bachelor of Business, majoring in financial planning.
Yep. So then, is this your first job then out of uni? If the timeline lines up, like, did you do anything after leaving uni and starting at Financial Foundations, or is that the first financial advice job you've had?
Yeah, so I worked at a financial planning firm for about 12 to 15 months. And then that's when I moved across to Financial Foundations.
Yeah. Yeah. And what role did you move across to in the first place?
So it was a client services role. So the previous role was straight out of university, helping people implement the advice, and then was looking for another opportunity and moved to Financial Foundations, and was doing everything, the same, different clientele, different business, of course, but, making the teas and coffees and doing everything that, client services sort of role would do, and implementing the advice.
Yep.
Advisors are constantly improving, learning from other experts or their peers, reading content. Make that growth count at cpdcheck.com.
And then your next step after client services, what was your next role?
Yep. So in total, I probably worked as a client services officer, including my previous role, for about 3 years. So sort of a good foundation for me. And then the next role was paraplanning, so writing the advice. And then while I was paraplanning, I started to do my professional year and more of an associate advisor type role. And then, been advising now for 5 years, I think, today.
Today. I was going to ask if you're like that kind of 9 years at Financial Foundations, like depending on what you did in those earlier years, were you one of the ones that had to go through the whole professional year, or did you manage to sneak through beforehand? But it sounds like you've done the professional year.
Yeah. It was announced, and then I started the professional year pretty soon after.
Yeah. That's pretty good. Like there's not that many small businesses that really kind of leaped into doing the professional year straight away. Like there's people I talk to now, however many years on we are from having to deal with professional year, there's still businesses that don't do anything in the space of professional year, and they're petrified. That's a good sign that you guys just kind of leaped straight into doing it.
Yeah, it was always a goal of mine. I made my intentions pretty clear that I one day wanted to be a financial advisor to help people on their financial journey. And so, they supported that growth, which was fantastic. And I mean, forever grateful for where I am, for what they've done and helped me on my journey. So,
And how does it look like for you, like in terms of team structure and support? Like, are you on your own? Do you have a direct associate, client service? What does that structure look like for you?
Yeah, good question. So each of the financial advisors here at FFA have someone that works with them closely in terms of support staff. And so, you know, I have a lady by the name of Annie who works closely with me, and she implements all the advice, helps with appointments and implements and does everything that's required on the back end. And then the paraplanner is sort of for the whole business. And so we have one way paraplanner, and all the advisors have one support staff. So yeah, that's sort of the structure at the moment.
Gotcha. And how many advisors did you say?
Five advisors.
Yeah. Is there anyone that you went through professional year 5 years ago today, finished it up? Anyone come through professional year since you?
There actually hasn't been, no.
Yeah.
Maybe I made it too difficult for them, I'm not sure. No, it was, I'm sure there will be some coming through over the coming years, but no one since me yet.
Yep. And is everyone here in Australia using outsource, like in Philippines or India or somewhere else? Or is everyone here onshore?
We have maybe three or four that are in the Philippines. And so they do more of the support staff, behind the scenes, administration type work. They're very grateful for all that they do, of course, as well. And we count them as part of the team. And they come in our weekly huddles and everything. So definitely 100% part of the team.
Yeah. Yep. So talk us through a bit what a typical client looks like for you.
So, the client today, 63 and 65, planning for retirement. One's just finished work and the other one retired a couple of years ago, wanting to know how to optimize their investments, then they want a strategic advice. So, the full shebang really in terms of planning for retirement, saving on estate taxes, getting the age pension when they're eligible, and everything in between. So, really, retirement and retirement planning in terms of funds. Typically, our usual clientele is $500,000-$600,000 or more. Typically,
yeah. And how do you you're doing the social media thing? So let's kind of tie in the social media with the process that then follows from there. So you're doing these videos in your car. Firstly, and I always get this question all the time. Where do you get the idea from for the video in the first place?
Yeah, usually client meetings actually. When someone asks a question, I'm like, okay, I've gotten this question 15 times in the last year or whatever it may be. I'm going to write that down after the meeting and I'm going to do a video about it. I also get the content from books or from podcasts or from other people in terms of just the topic. So there's a huge range of areas, but a lot of them are client meetings and client questions that they ask.
Gotcha. And then, so you write these down. How often do you record the videos? Do you record them all in one go or just one at a time? What's that look like?
I think if I recorded them one a day, I'd probably go nuts and think it'd be too onerous. So I try to record maybe 10 to 15 at a time.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And so I'll be sitting in my car, the neighbors will be walking past and everything's happening and I'm sitting there talking about financing my car.
And how long are you sitting in the car then? For an hour to do those 15 videos?
Yeah. Sometimes an hour and a half. So it depends. It's enjoyable because I'm in my own space and I can literally make a mistake and no one else knows.
Of course.
So that's why I enjoy it's like my designated sacred place of where I go to record my videos.
Yeah. And is that something that's scheduled that you do at them at 6 o'clock on a Tuesday night or something like that? Is there a video recording time for Kieran?
Maybe I should. But usually on a Monday, I work from home on a Monday. And so usually the afternoon, if it's 4 p.m. And there's no other clients, and I'll head to the car.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. So you've recorded all of these videos, your phone's full of your face talking about the stuff. How are you then turning that into the videos that we can see on Instagram and wherever else you're posting them?
Yeah, so typically as part of my videos, I will think of some sort of hook because, posting a video, you don't just post something just to get it out there. You need to think, okay, what's going to be engaging and have a on-screen caption and you need to make it enticing for people to watch, or else you're never going to get people's attention. So that's usually been thought about beforehand. And so when I'm recording the videos, I know what the hook's going to likely be. And so I can play towards that sort of hook. I'll typically then, if I'm walking on a treadmill and watching Married at First Sight or whatever it may be, I'm editing the videos. And so I'll edit the videos and just have them all saved in my Instagram reel templates, and then as each day comes around 6 p.m. I'll post a video.
Yep. So you're editing the video directly into Instagram.
Yep.
Are you recording it separate and then just importing it into Instagram?
Recording it separately, just on my phone.
Separate, yep. Putting it into Instagram, do the editing, and then saving it as a draft.
Yep.
So is it Instagram's doing any captions or anything for you? That's all done through Instagram.
Yep. Is that the way that you do it? Maybe I can learn from you, James. You tell me what's best to do.
I'll answer your question in a second. Are you using that Edits app or are you just doing it directly through Instagram itself?
I've just started to use the Edits app. I don't know if I really like it, but...
Yeah, it annoys me too.
Yeah. But,
only because Instagram didn't have some of the features that it does now and this Edits app didn't exist up until just recently, I record into an app called Captions, which does the captions as the name suggests, and then you can kind of trim the ums and ahs out and if you've, you know, started over again because you messed up or whatever, but I record directly into that app. It's only if I'm doing, I don't know, for some reason it's a bit more elaborate and I'm recording like different things that I want to then all stitch together as the one video, then I'll use, I use CapCut to... Yep. Stitch the thing together, but then I export it out of there and then I put it into Captions to do the captions. So I don't like, and I was saying to someone in the office yesterday, I don't like the free fonts that are in the CapCut app. I prefer the app, the ones that are in Captions. But the bit that annoys me, so I try not to use the Edits app, but with the, like I put like a title on the video and you can kind of time it to disappear after a while in Instagram. When you don't have the Edits app loaded on your phone, you can do that reasonably easily on that timeline thing that's there.
Yep.
But when you do have the Edits app, when you try and do that, it pushes you into the Edits app. You've got to do that thing in Edits app and then export it. It's so clunky.
It is. The only way to do it, and probably getting into the weeds here, but if you scroll up slightly so that you don't click the Edits app, you can still use the normal Instagram features and still edit the normal way.
It doesn't push you to edits.
Yep, correct. Doesn't push you to edits. Yep. You just slightly pull it up and then you'll see all the areas down the bottom that you can amend the duration of the text.
See, I told you before we pressed record, I wanted to just learn stuff that you're doing and share it with everyone else. So there you go. Tip for me and tip for anyone else that's listening. So, all right. So you've sat in your car for an hour. You've recorded all of these videos. When you're doing something else, you're editing them all up. You've got them saved there. So are you... You've set yourself like a target to post one video every day and you're keeping that up.
Yep.
How long have you kept up one video a day for?
So for just over 12 months now, for every single day, 365 days. It's been over a year. So I started in January last year.
Yeah. Are you posting the videos anywhere else or just on Instagram?
So when I post on Instagram, it links to a Facebook page. And so it's automatically being posted to the Facebook page. And then I also upload it to TikTok as well.
Yeah. So you save the Instagram video after you posted it and then put it onto TikTok? Yeah.
Yeah.
Of those three different places where you're putting it, what are your followers like on each of those different places?
It's interesting because Facebook, I didn't think Facebook, or I thought Facebook was going to be the number one platform. But when I first started, there was no results, not much traction at all. So TikTok started blowing up and then Instagram started blowing up and then now it's Facebook. So Facebook is the place where a lot of people come through at the moment. Yep. And it literally, from November last year, my wife and I were away in Burleigh Heads. All of a sudden, it went from zero to 5,000 followers nearly overnight. And maybe that's not much for you, but it was for me at the time. And it... and so I've had regular people come through all from Facebook recently.
That's exactly my experience with Facebook too. I was posting on Instagram and linked to Facebook, like you're saying, nothing on Facebook for so long. And then it was like I opened up my Facebook app one day and there's all these comments and notifications on this video that I posted months ago. Yep. It was a video about inheriting assets and tax or something like that. It was something to do with that. And I was walking to the gym from my house to the gym where I record some of my videos. And I even asked people in the comments, I'm like, how come you guys are commenting on this video now? I posted it 3 months ago. Like the video did really well on Instagram at the time that I posted it, but didn't do anything on Facebook. And then like people were responding back saying, oh, we're only just seeing it now. You know, it's being shown to us now. And like you, and it went from zero to 5,000. Yeah, mine did the same thing. I had this kind of big bump up from that one video and then it's progressively grown since. I'm interested in, like, you post the same video on all of those three places. Is there one of those three where you're consistently seeing more views on that video?
Probably Facebook.
Facebook,
yep. Yeah. Yep. So I have it so, I'm not sure if this is the same as you, but when I post on Instagram, it's linked to Facebook. And so when I go to Instagram, it will show me the total views, but it will show Facebook and Instagram's total views. And so, and when I dive into the insights, it shows Facebook's been 10,000 and Instagram's been 4,000 sort of thing.
Yep.
And so Facebook is where a lot of the views come from, which is, yeah, I guess it makes sense with the 55, 60 year olds. Most people are on Facebook rather than TikTok, for example.
That's it. They're on there seeing photos of their grandkids, the 60 something year olds.
Yep.
And then how does TikTok compare in terms of views? So, if, you know, Facebook's higher than Instagram. Where does TikTok sit in that kind of hierarchy?
Initially, it was number one. For some reason, it was doing extremely well. And then in the last maybe 6 months, it's just been a little bit dead. And so it's, it would be number three.
Yep.
Same as you?
Yeah, exactly the same as what I'm experiencing. People ask me because they, you know, in financial advice circles, they're kind of, I was the guy doing TikTok videos. And I always say, TikTok's dead to me now. I post exactly the same video in the same three places that you're doing. And TikTok page never grows. It gets a few thousand views at most. But
yeah,
Facebook gets hundreds of thousands of views and TikTok gets 2,000 views for exactly the same video. So
it's crazy.
Yeah, I think the easy days of TikTok are behind us in terms of the content that we're posting of financial advice. If someone could come up with a better way, a more engaging way, I'm sure they'll probably blow up on TikTok. But for those of us that are doing the videos there, TikTok's well and truly a ghost town these days.
Yeah, I agree.
Right, so you've got all these videos, then people like your videos, they watch them, so forth. How do people then start to reach out to you? What's the next link from a video to talking to Kieran?
Mm-hmm. So there's a link in my profile, both on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok, where they can book in directly to a calendar. Now, it was probably only in the last couple of weeks has it gotten to the stage where I can't handle all the appointments, and especially I'm having a baby in about a month or so. And so there's a sort of period where I'm probably not going to be able to take any appointments. So I've now put the link, so now they all go to the other advisors in our office. And so they're seeing people come through and booking in with them, which is great.
Yeah. So you're doing some type of initial phone call, or does it go directly straight to a longer meeting with them?
No, a 15-minute phone call and just sort of see, if we can help, if we're the right fit and help them understand. You know, usually they have a specific question. I've received inheritance. What do I need to think about, or whatever it may be? And then you sort of lead them down the path of helping them understand that there's actually a lot more value that can be added than just answering a question.
Yep.
Then they'll be booked in for two-hour free meeting, either virtually or in person. And then we'll go through their situation in detail, help them understand a few areas that we may be able to improve, and really just help them see the value of financial advice. And then from there, typically my sort of process is that if that was me, I'd then book them in for another appointment. So I'd do a bit of research on their super account, and they'll come in and would sort of fine tune the next steps in terms of, okay, we're going to consider insurances or rolling over your super or whatever it may be, that's going to, or recontribution strategy or doing a certain strategy to get more age pension or whatever it may be. And then once they decide that they're comfortable with me and Financial Foundations, or in this case, the other advisors and Financial Foundations and the team approach, then we'll start to prepare the advice and to implement the advice for them.
Yep. So your initial meeting's 2 hours with a new client.
Typically.
What are you doing in 2 hours?
Maybe I'm talking too much. That's what's happening, James. Usually the fact-finding process, it usually can take maybe 45 minutes or so. And then we talk about, the different tax environments, the how risk and return works, the potential strategies of how they can get more age pension, or how a recontribution strategy works. So a lot of it is education.
Yep.
So I know there are some financial advisors that just sort of say, trust me, leave it all to me and I'll figure it all out in the back end and you'll pay a fee for it. But we're very much a hold your hand. This is how it works. This is why it works. And this is how you're going to be better off. And so there's probably a lot of value that's added in the first couple of meetings, just to help them get educated in terms of what are their options and what's available to them.
Yeah, I understand. Are you using any tools or modeling software or PowerPoint slides or anything in that first meeting? Or what are you taking with you?
Yeah, usually, so we, in our meeting rooms, we have a TV and we just connect our laptop to the TV. And then behind us, we usually have a whiteboard. And so we're typically drawing on the whiteboard. The whiteboard gets a lot of use and usually the whiteboard's full of drawings. But yeah, usually just the whiteboard and the computer and we use Xplans. We use the retirement funding calculator. Typically in that first meeting, I'll go through the retirement funding calculator as well, just to sort of give them that extra peace of mind that they're on the right track and that there are some things that we can continue to help them to improve their situation now and going forward.
And so then you do some research, you have a second meeting with them and you move on to advice from there. Yep. Are the clients, do you have some type of portal or anything like that? Are the clients uploading any information anywhere themselves? Like there's some advisors I've done podcasts with, they send the client a link to something and the client enters all their own information in there. It doesn't sound like you're doing that type of stuff.
No, I definitely think that's on the cards over the next couple of years to implement something like that, because that would save a hell of a time in the initial meeting. But I do find the process of going through them, although it takes a little bit longer, it helps me really understand them and their situation rather than just seeing some numbers on the screen that they've filled out beforehand. And so it really helps me to ask questions around, okay, well, you've got all these shares, what's your plan for these? Or you've got this investment property with, you know, that you bought 10 years ago, what's your long-term plan for the investment property? And so it does help me to ask good questions and find out more detail than just seeing numbers on a screen.
Yep. You mentioned, you know, using the whiteboard heavily to educate and with these clients that you're seeing. Is it mainly people in Melbourne and coming into the office in Camberwell that you're seeing? You're doing some online? What's the mix look like there?
Yeah, it's probably 50-50 at the moment. So I have a lot of people here in Melbourne that come. I had someone that drove 2 hours from Torquay to meet with me this morning. So a bit of a distance. But then I can draw everything on the whiteboard, on the computer, like the digital or virtual whiteboard, and draw everything the same as if it was in person. So yeah, they'll essentially get the same services. They just won't be able to shake my hand and share a coffee with me if that's what they're after.
Yeah. But you're running at about half-half, but kind of half is people in person and half online. Yeah. Would that be true of the other advisors in the office as well? Or are they mostly people coming to the office?
Yeah. So we work from home Monday and Thursday, and then in the office Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday. And so it's probably, about half-half as well. Yeah, I would say so.
And is everyone in the office on that same schedule? You're not.
Yep.
You don't have your different days off or different days at home from. Yep. It's everyone's in on Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's correct. Yeah.
Okay. You mentioned baby on the way, about a month or so to go. Are you planning on keeping up the daily videos as that gets a little nearer and out the other side? What are you going to do?
If my wife was listening to this, she'd probably say, please say no. But I just find that it's part of my routine. You know, every day it's sort of something that I like to do and provides me with a bit of satisfaction knowing that I'm helping people. And so I probably will record videos well in advance and then just upload them as the time comes. Or maybe for this period, I'll maybe use videos that have been done in the past.
Oh, yeah. Do you still, you've got a record of all of those? You can re-upload them again?
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, you've, like, so you, well, you post a video and then you've saved it somewhere.
Yeah. So it's just on my phone. So all my videos are saved. So if I need to use them again, I can go back and just re-upload them, and it doesn't have any sort of watermark or anything like that on it.
Yeah. How much storage are you taking up with saving all your videos?
I don't know. I'm not sure, but it's probably a fair bit.
You haven't got that message on your phone saying running out of storage yet. So you're okay.
I think I'm paying a dollar or something a month or a week or something for extra storage, but that's okay.
Oh, yeah. Like that storage, all worth it.
So do you not save the videos in any way? It's once it's uploaded, it's done and gone?
I used to. When I first started doing videos ages and years ago, I saved them and I got a folder somewhere. I don't even know where they are now. I was saving them, but I was talking to someone else that was doing videos at that time, and he said, it's just too much. to save it all. And this other person I was talking to said it was like a relief for him to press delete on it. So I record the video, edit it, whatever, posted in all of these different places. It's still there on my phone until I get the message to say I'm running out of storage. I was just checking my phone yesterday because I was talking to someone else. I've only got 5 gig of storage left on my phone at the moment. So I'll soon enough get the notification to say my phone storage is full and then I have to go and kill all of these videos. But yeah, instead of my photos app on my iPhone being the tons of photos of my kids, there's a million photos and videos of my face.
Oh, looking at yourself, yeah.
Unfortunately, yeah. So what's the plan for you? Like, I guess when you set out to do these videos, what was your intention behind doing the videos, and has that changed now?
Yeah, so my first initial intention was that I'm being asked the same questions from so many different people every single day. Why don't I just start adding value to the community? So that's where it initially started. That was my why, just to add value and just to get free guidance out there, or free information out there that from someone that they could potentially trust. And then since there, it's been, okay, well, there's been a lot of people that have gotten their attention, I guess, and they're wanting further advice. And so it has been quite a big lead generation type of process now. But that's still, it's not the main intention. Yes, it helps. And yes, it's what I do for work. But the initial why is still there, of just helping as many people as possible on their retirement journey. And so, yeah, I always keep that in the back of my mind before I post or before I prepare a video, is this going to help someone on their financial journey at all?
Yep. And then, yeah, as a byproduct of that, you just end up with people reaching out to you for some help. What's next on the cards for you? You know, you are, you know, a big goal setter of what 2026 and beyond to look like for you. What are you thinking?
Yeah, so I have some, I guess, personal goals around how many followers, how many people I want to reach, how many views I want to reach, and those sort of things. For me, especially with baby on the way, I'm sort of still focused on those goals, but they're probably going to lose their importance, I think, once baby comes along.
100% will.
And so maybe there'll be less videos posted. It's not the plan at this stage, but maybe. But yeah, at the moment, my goal is just to help as many people on their financial journey through free education, through free guidance online. And if I post every day, I feel like I'll achieve that goal. And so consistency is probably the main goal, is just posting regularly.
Does that then feed into any career goals for you?
Yeah, so currently I'm a shareholder of Financial Foundations, and so would love to get more shares, would love to build up the equity. So of course, I guess to make more money and everything like that is of course an added bonus. But initially for the videos and for my social media, it's more to add value. But yeah, career wise, money wise, just to be able to help as many people as possible. Basically to replicate you, James, but just not copy you.
Good. Well, look, thanks, Kieran. Thanks for joining me. Really good to share your story and kind of hear about where you're at. You've done an incredible job for, you know, just 12 months of posting videos every day. I don't know anyone that's done that before. So
thank
good
you.
On you. Keep it up. It's obviously, you know, from a business perspective, starting to really work for you. You know, you mentioned before that you're having to get others in the business to you know, take some of the phone calls and do some of the work, partly because of the baby on the way, but it sounds like there's just a lot of inquiries that you can't deal with all on your own anyway. So congratulations to you.
Thank you.
Big success. So thanks for joining me on the podcast.
Thanks, James.